You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which comes to you from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we're certainly thankful that you are tuned our way. We invite you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. I love him too much to fail him now. I have said many times, the only ones that are serving the Lord are those who love him. God never compels anyone to serve Him. If we serve Him, we serve Him because we love Him. For Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for your love to us. We're thankful for the gift of your dear Son and for the gift of eternal life through Him. We're also thankful for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We're trusting that the Holy Spirit will take us, take our broadcast, and make it a blessing to each one in our congregation. We also pray that you'll remember them, their burdens, their cares, their concerns, their needs, for we know that you love them, every one. So bless our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject for today's broadcast, Lessons from the Life of Moses. I'll read from Exodus chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived, and bare a son, And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Our text introduces us to the one God used to lead Israel out of Egyptian bondage. This child was named Moses because he was drawn out of the water. Now Moses lived for 120 years, and he provided many examples for us. However, I wish to speak of only four on today's broadcast. Number one, shunning sin. Number two, patience. Number three, excuses. And number four, meekness. In regard to shunning sin, we are told in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verses 24, 25, and 26, that when Moses came of years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of the treasures or reproach of Christ greater treasures than those of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now Moses refused what could have been a lifetime of luxury, living there doubtless in Pharaoh's court or in his palace, and being considered his grandson, he doubtless had the very best that Egypt had to offer. And we're told in Acts chapter 7 and verse 22 that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. So I say Moses refused what could have been a lifetime of luxury. Many people then and now doubtless would have considered him a very sick, a silly man or a very unwise man to turn down all the riches and splendors and honor that he could have had there in Egypt to suffer with the people of God. But I'm sure that if Moses were to stand before you today, he would tell you he did not make a mistake, that he would make the same decision over again. So Moses chose to refuse the life of sin, and he chose to suffer the afflictions of the people of God, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. So there are things that are far more valuable, far more important than the material things of this world. So Moses chose, and he chose to suffer affliction, but he made the right choice. He ended up leaving Egypt to be with the Midianites, and there doubtless continue to suffer afflictions of one kind or another in comparison to the life that he had and could have had in Egypt. Thus Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, even while he was there in the land of the Midianites. And you know, Moses got married there and he had a son or two, and he was then called to do a job for God. And that brings me now to our second thought, the thought of patience. When he tried to settle a quarrel between the two Hebrews, and this is while he was still in Egypt and before he left Egypt, when he tried to settle a quarrel between two Hebrews, he supposed that his brethren would have understood how that God, by his hand, would deliver them, but they understood not, according to Acts 7 and 25. And it seemed Moses was trying to deliver them, possibly in his own way and in his own time, which was not God's time or way. So Moses had to learn patience. Moses spent 40 years in Midian before God was ready for him. he doubtless learned much patience during those years, and doubtless he continued to suffer some also. Now, we're told that Moses saw a burning bush, a sight that attracted his attention, and he turned aside to see what it was. And there, God gave him the message that he wanted him to return to the land of Egypt to deliver the children of Israel out of it. And Jesus explaining the parable in regard to the sower and the seed, but that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Notice how Jesus said that. It brings forth fruit with patience. Jesus also said, in your patience possess ye your souls. So the man Moses had to learn patience. In Psalm 27 and 14 we read, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, this brings me now to the third thought of excuses. As I said, Moses turned aside to see the burning bush, which was a strange sight for him. And as he approached it, he was told, Moses, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Now, the reason it was holy ground was because God's presence was there. The soil itself was no different than the other, but it was holy because of God's presence. And God told him what he had for him to do. He wanted him to return to the land of Egypt, and there he wanted him to deliver the children of Israel out of a bondage. Out of bondage. God told Moses, I've heard their cry, and I have come down to deliver them. But now, with our third thought of excuses, let me read from Exodus chapter 3, verses 11, 12, and 13. Exodus chapter 3, verses 11, 12, and 13. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token or a sign unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Now, I'd like for us to turn to the fourth chapter, and I'd like to read verses 1 and 2. And Moses answered and said, but, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And you know the story, if you're familiar with the scripture, how God told him to throw the rod down, it became a serpent. And then he told him to take it. Of course, Moses first started running away from it, and I don't blame him. But anyway, the Lord told him to take it by the tail, and it turned back into a rod. And then he told him to put his hand in his bosom, and he took it out, and it became leprous. And then God told him to put his hand back in his bosom, and he took it out again, and his hand was made whole. Now, dropping down to Exodus chapter 4, beginning with verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, for since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made that man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb to or deaf? Or the seeing or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by thy hand of him whom thou wilt send. Now notice verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. So the Lord was not pleased with Moses' excuses. No, the scripture says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Moses made excuses for not wanting to do God's will, but God did not take kindly to his excuses. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus gave a parable of a man who made a great supper and bade many, according to verse 16. And he sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. One said, I have bought a piece of land. I got to go examine it. Why wouldn't he have examined it before he bought it? And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I got to go try them. The sensible thing would have been to have tried them before he bought them. And the other said, I have married a wife. I can't come. Well, why couldn't he bring his wife with him? Now, none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper, so the Lord said. Notice, these were excuses. They began to make excuses. And whenever those who had been sent out to invite him to come returned to their master and told him about these excuses that these people made, he said, I'm still going to have guests. And he sent them out into the highways and the byways to invite the halt and the maimed, the lame, the blind, and so forth. Because he said, I'm going to have guests at my supper. But he said, none of those that made all those excuses, none of them which are bidden shall taste of my supper. Are we, let me ask our radio congregation today, are we seeking to excuse ourselves from our responsibilities, or do we humbly submit to God's will? God is not pleased when we make a bunch of excuses when he has a work or a job for us to do. Now this brings me to my fourth point, meekness. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. So we're told in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. Now, does this mean he was weak? No. Do not confuse meekness with weakness. We should be meek, but not compromise God's truth. Moses never did. So do not confuse meekness and weakness. Moses was one of the straightest, strictest, and strongest, and most consistent, faithful leaders that Israel ever had. And he had to put up with a lot of murmurings and complainings. No wonder he needed to have patience. And no wonder he needed to have meekness. But do not confuse meekness with weakness. Again, I say Moses was one of the strongest leaders that Israel ever had. He had to be strong to lead that rebellious, murmuring, complaining people. We see Moses as a bold and courageous leader of God's people. They were murmuring and they were complaining and about Moses up there on the mountain. He's gone and we don't know where he's at. So they came to Aaron and asked him to make them a god. He had them to take off their gold and so forth, and they melted it down and shaped it into a golden calf. And they said, This be the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt. And whenever God told Moses to get down off of the mountain, and he got inside of the camp of Israel and saw the ungodly things that were going on there, he threw those 2 tables of stone in which God had written the 10 commandments and broke them. That's why he had to go back up on the mountain the second time. But Moses, after he got down there and saw what was going on, he stood in the camp of Israel and he said to the people, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come over here. And the Levites and some others came over and stood with Moses as he stood against the ungodly things that was going on. After they had crossed over and had journeyed a while there in the desert, or the Sinai, we find the people murmuring and complaining again, and there were those that came to Moses and told him that they were just as holy as he was, that he thought he was more holy than they were, and so forth. Beloved, it was not a question of who was holy or who was holier than the other. It was a question of who God had chosen to lead the children of Israel. And so Moses told them, now there's going to be something happen tomorrow that's never happened before, if it be that God has chosen me to lead this people. Now, if it doesn't happen, then you can mark it down. God hasn't chosen me to lead the people. Korah had organized a rebellion against Moses, and Moses had determined to let the people see and know who had chosen them, or chosen him to lead them. So the next day, you know what happened? The earth opened up and swallowed up Korah and a bunch of rebellious people, and then the earth closed back together, and Korah and his men were buried there in the earth. So meekness is one thing, weakness is another thing. And Moses was indeed one of the very meekest of men, according to Numbers 12 and 3, but he was certainly not weak by any means. Meekness is listed as one of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23. So meekness was not only a trait that was good and necessary in the life of Moses, but meekness is something that is necessary in the life of every one of us. Jesus said we are to receive with meekness the engrafted word, and we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. All good things, in other words. Moses is an example in various ways. Let us make the same choice as he made and choose Christ and be blessed by doing so. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If our broadcast has been a blessing to you, it would be an encouragement to us if you'd take time to write and let us know. Our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our fax number is 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org. Now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast. We invite you to tune in the station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.